Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
If you've not been with us, and most of you have not, because most of those who have been with us were smart enough to stay home, and so they're watching online with us right now. But for those who have been with us, we are in a study on James, which is a letter that was written by Jesus' half-brother. If you've ever dug into the scripture, Joseph and Mary did have some other children after Jesus, and James is one of them. He did not believe in Jesus at all his entire life. Was actually thought he was nuts and tried to shut him down on occasions that we see in the scripture. But after Jesus died and resurrected from the dead, we do see where he appeared to James, and it radically changed James's life. And he became the great bishop, and actually had just as much authority, if not in some cases, it seemed like more authority than some of the other apostles when it came to the church in Jerusalem. So we've been going through his letter as we have been desiring to go past not just I guess we as a church would call worldly thinking, but even just normal church thinking. Like, one of the things about the church today, we generally find ourselves in kind of a lukewarm standpoint. So we accept Jesus as Lord, forgive in our lives, we get baptized, we try to be a little bit nicer than we were before, and that's all the more impact it truly has. And what we're trying to do is get past that to the life that Jesus modeled for us, that he called us to, and what we're instructed to be able to do through the scriptures. And so we've been calling that like kingdom God living now. Like when Mike was praying, and we're going through the Lord's Prayer, and it says, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the desire of that, for his will to actually be happening in our lives and things actually change in our lives and how we see life. And so that's the season we're in. It's called Go Deeper. And we've been using this is, I don't have anywhere near the time to go into all of what this represents, but basically this picture here has been representing for us a kingdom of God living, of moving outside the outside world, outside the normal church thinking, and moving out to the worship, and then to get then different things here represent different things. So that's what we've been in, and we've gone through a couple of things with James. James is kind of challenging, which is one of the reasons why we grabbed him right off the bat. So far, 2 weeks ago, we talked about his saying that we really need to count it a joy when we're going through trials, and talking about that partnership that we as Christians are invited to have of going through suffering, but also joy at the same time, because it's maturing us, and we're seeing God lead us through that, and there's different aspects there. Again, if you missed any of those messages, they're available on our YouTube page or church site to go into that. Last week, we talked about just that you are exalted in your loneliness. Like when you are going through struggles, or when things aren't 100% right all the time, or you don't think you've got it all together, or you're going through financial struggles, physical struggles, relationship struggles, whatever the case may be, that you can rejoice within that loneliness, because those that are rich, everything's going great, that season will pass. All seasons pass. We're always going back and forth. And so if everything's going great, good for you, grab it, enjoy it while you got it. But sooner or later, it's going to come back to our foundation, and our foundation is through Christ. And so he talked to us there. And at the end of that, he was talking about that coming from the Word and hearing the Word. So that's, as I said last week, it's a segue to his next section. So if you got your Bibles with you, we're going to go to James chapter 1. We're going to pick it up in verse 19. If you do not have a Bible with you, there are Bibles in the baskets underneath the chairs around the room. If you want to keep borrow, it's still one of those. And then you also, YouVersion is up and running. YouVersion is a national app. It's a free app that you can have on your phone. A lot of great tools in it. And one of those is live events. If you click live events and do a search, you'll see TSF and today's date. It has all the scriptures there, places to take notes, all kinds of stuff there that you can use. So that's where we're heading. We're just going to read a little, talk a little, and dig in and see what we've got. Everybody good?
Yes.
Everybody in? Okay. Mm-hmm. If you're online, give Jenny a thumbs up. She's walking around the back of the room with the laptop looking like she's a little lost. Okay, I love you, wife. Huh? Just seeing who's there. Okay, let's dig in. Verse 19. James continues by writing this. He says, know this, my beloved brothers. Know this, my beloved sisters. Again, remember, from the very beginning, he's writing this to Messianic Jews, or to Christian Jews, Jews that have accepted Jesus, as well as those Gentiles like me that have been grafted in through salvation. Know this, my beloved family. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, Anybody triggered yet? Okay. Slow, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man, or human anger, does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So again, right off the bat, we've got the family aspect of things, and three steps. If you're a note taker, I don't even have to put them up on the screen for you. You get your journal out, just write them down. Be quick to listen, slow to anger, right, and slow to speaking within those. I was thinking about this a little bit, and I think, like, if James was today, we might have to expand that a little bit. Some of us are really good at not being quick to speaking, like you can go quick to listening. Good job, you. That's not everybody's natural temperament. Most people, if you hear something you don't like it, then you're going to either throw down, or you're going to take and stand up for yourself. Or, you know, again, we live in a world, put your big boy pants on, deal with it, get up in the face if you have to, whatever the case may be. And in today's world, I think he would not just tell us to be quick to listen, but slow to speak, slow to type, slow to let your emotions show on your face, because you can't hide your emotions and you end up being with RBF, or taking in slow to pout, whatever the case would be. There's a lot of ways we react that don't really help a situation. My wife said I had RBF the other day. Thank you, honey. We were at a Aspire meeting. It was a pastor's meeting. And to my credit, it was a Thursday. I don't do well on Thursdays because that's my study day, so I'm usually at home just working on this stuff. I'm thinking about the time I'm kind of losing. We're covering a lot of information. I'm on the board for Aspire, so a lot of the information I knew already. For those that are in our church, you know I've got a buddy who's in his final days of a fight with cancer, so that was on my mind and stuff. And so she said, basically, I did my little talk at the beginning of that, but outside of those RBF. And I'm not sure what rugged boyfriend face is. I think she makes upwards, but I'm working on it. I think we need to rest how we put those things out there. But here's really what it comes down to. When we are quick to speak, and especially when it's quick from anger, because anger usually happens when you're not getting your way. Okay, and that I think is 90% of anger. I'm not getting my way. I wanted to go out with my wife this Friday. She had other plans. Now I'm in a bad mood. Why? Because I didn't get my way. If I had an idea at work and you take it to your boss and they say, no, I think we're going to go another way, and you're upset about it, why? Because you didn't get your way. The way that we grow in our understanding and our unity is through communication. The way that we grow is through relationship. More than anything else in the world is sitting down and talking to each other. So when we put up the guard real fast and we're ready to go toe-to-toe real fast, we're not going to grow. We're not going to be able to have our witness, and anger is going to control us. And as James says, the anger of us is not lead to righteousness. There is righteous anger, right? We see Jesus throwing temple down, and it leads to the point that he's trying to make, because it was righteous anger. But when it's Tom anger, usually 9 out of 10 times, if not 99 out of 100, I'm going to make a mess of things. I'm going to push things away. And so he says this is a major problem that we have as individuals, maybe some of us more than others. But nonetheless, I think all of us do. And so he takes and gives us a solution. He says to receive with meekness the word of God. Okay, so then he continues in 22 on that. He says, but if you're going to get into the word, if you're going to try to receive it with meekness, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now I'm going to read that one again because this is an important point that he makes. Be doers of the word and not just hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If there's a problem, and I think there is, in the church, at least of the United States, of being lukewarm, of being honestly hypocritical, of doing one thing on Sunday mornings and doing another thing throughout the week, of taking saying, Jesus, you're my Lord and Savior, but still doing our own thing, barely remember even bring it up to him, let alone being his word to find out about it. It's this. We share the Bible verses, we do the devotionals, we go to church, and then we just kind of do what we do. And again, I'm not trying to beat up, because you guys are very gracious to me that, like, almost every week, at least one person will say something about the sermon. It used to be two, but again, my mom passed away 4 years ago. But it's Monica. Monica loves me. No, but you guys are gracious to me, but if you ever notice, I always have the same response for two reasons. One, I don't do well compliments. I appreciate them, but I get very uncomfortable and sweaty and weird. So my go-to answer has become whatever the Spirit did with it and whatever you do with it. Because me being up here is really so secondary, even third or fourth or fifth down the line. As I've learned over the last 21 years of us being here, people come up and say, you know, when you said such and such in the sermon, man, that really got me. And I'm sitting there going, I know I never said such and such. And in the early days, I would go back and watch the videos, because we've always videotaped them, and try to find what they're talking about, and I can't find it. That's because the Holy Spirit does whatever with the babbling he wants to do. So it always really comes back to what he did with it and what you do with it. And so if you come and you're in a Bible study at home or you're in a Bible study here or whatever the case may be, and the Holy Spirit just goes, bam, just gets you good. Just bam, gets you good. And then you walk out of here 20 minutes later, nothing's changed. You're deceiving yourself that something actually happened because you didn't do it. You didn't lean into it. You didn't have any change from it. Doesn't mean we have to be perfect, but it should mean that we're growing. It should mean that we're moving forward. So I think, again, if you're a person that likes to put notes on post-it notes and put them in your desk or anything, matter of fact, riff that. Jenny, will you do me a favor? Will you go get me a stack of post-it notes for my desk and a handful of pens? Okay. You know, and put it on so you see all the time. That's great. If you want to write on your mirror, in your bathroom, if you use dry erase markers, they come off no matter how long you leave it up there. That will come off when you don't need that word. But he's very, very clear. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man or a person or a woman who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer, but forgets, who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in all of his doing. So, if we hear the word, okay, and I'll give you just a few. They're not in your U version. If you want to get them from me, you can later, but they're the ones that are now smeared from baptism water. But when you look at some stuff like Ecclesiastes 7:9, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Or Proverbs 15, where it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Or Proverbs 29, where it says, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Proverbs 15, 18, a hot-tempered person stirs up conflict, but the one who is patient calms a fight. Colossians 3, 8, but now you must also rid yourself of all things such as anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Proverbs 22, do not make friends with a hot-tempered person. Do not associate with one who is easily angered. Matthew 5, 22, but I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister would be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. Anyone says you fool would be in the danger of the fire of hell. Psalm 37, refrain from anger and turn from wrath and do not fret, but it only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Proverbs 14, 29, whoever is patient has a great understanding, but one who's quick-tempered displays folly. James 4, we'll get into this here in a few weeks, 1 through 2. What causes fights between you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? Your desire, you desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you fight. You do not have because God, you did not ask God. And so, again, we're just constantly, if we're not grabbing it and we're not living it, we're just fooling ourselves. You can say, you know, hey, you know, I'm a good Christian, but you ain't going to cut your witness all the time. If you say you're free in Christ, but you keep putting yourself in bondage because of your fear and your anger and your disgust, nothing's changing. Nothing's happening from that standpoint. You can say, you can do fine in kind of this church building understanding of things, but you're not on the beach. And that's what we're going to. You have to dig in deeper, and you have to make it so much of yourself that you that the reflection is clear. So what you doing, babe? You can bring them up. Okay. Did I scare you?
No, I didn't know what you wanted
to know. Oh, okay.
Did you want me to hand them out? Or?
No, let me do this. By the way, we're usually much more organized, but blame it on the snow. Okay. So, I have always kind of wondered a little bit when it comes to that whole looking in the mirror thing. Because when I look in the mirror, I generally kind of remember how good looking I am. What are you doing, wife?
It's right on me.
Yeah. Look in the Word of God, woman.
Hi, Lisa.
Okay, I'm not. Who do I want to put this to? The group is smaller than I originally anticipated, but the person I was going to do this to is here. Katie, can I borrow you for a moment? Okay. By the way, my wife told me if I stole a mirror, I was going to have to dust it. No, it's beautiful. Okay. Take a peek. Take a good look.
Hello.
Hi.
Okay.
That's me.
Look for a few seconds.
Yes.
Okay, don't fix your hair.
No, I was actually, there was a little itchy itch right there.
Okay, now step away so you can't see inside it.
Okay.
What do you look like?
What do I look like?
Yeah.
Human.
That's a good start.
Thank you. Me?
Yeah.
I look like me.
Here, lie down. Real quick, don't take time. Lie down real quick, don't.
Am I supposed to be, like, real spiritual with this, or, like...
No, you looked in the mirror, it says that you forget what you look like. What do you look like? Don't try to guess what I want, just... What did you look like? How would you describe your physical self? How much money do you want to give me later? Do you want to buy me lunch? Is your car completely covered with snow at this point? Are you getting home at all? Take your time. Okay, you good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Good enough.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Everybody clap for Katie. Now I'm gonna bring you back.
Okay.
Come on.
You're serious?
Yeah. Okay, brown hair, glasses, smile, short, very.
Dot, 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 very.
So did that one. Okay, look in there again.
Okay.
Stay looking in there.
Yes. Yeah.
Now what do you see besides the physical? How do you see yourself? No one's going to see it. I might, but I'm not going to tell anybody
else. Okay.
But just be honest. Okay, you shouldn't.
Okay.
All right. Da 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 da. That in this church, that really doesn't matter. Anybody that comes to the church knows how bad of a spell I am. While we give her time, we have to, of course, fill the awkward silence. Anybody seen Three Amigos?
Yes.
Anybody? Son? Do you want me to sing my song? No? Whenever they make me do mic checks, I sing a song from Three Amigos. And it's we're about to find out once if Katie's still going. Arizona moon keeps shining. Michael's laughing at me. What's wrong with you? From the desert sky above. Poor little Ned, he was tired and scared out in the desert. You know pretty soon that big yellow moon.
Hey, hurry up.
Will light the way back to... Blue on the trail. I'm not done. I'm in the middle of a song.
Okay.
Little cowboy, close your eyes.
I'm so sorry.
And dream. All of the... Oh, I'm docking your pay, Neil. Dream, little pal. Thank you, Katie, again.
You're welcome.
Okay. Now, how much do you trust me? Do you mind if this is a list, or do you want me to go ahead? Okay, she's going to be honest. Pastor Tom is the best looking man I've ever seen. Katie wrote vulnerable, sad, stressed, proud, confused, alone, loved. And I think this is probably a pretty close list to what most of us would do. in that place. And I think when we look in the mirror when it comes to the Word and what we think of ourselves once we walk away from the Word, that's when we forget who we truly are. So, I promise I won't sing. But everybody else, will you come up and write a couple of words of how you see Katie and put them on the mirror for me? Go. And I'm talking a couple handfuls, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to read some scriptures. Yeah, we'll do that. Okay, I'm not going to, yes, that is from there. But I'm just going to read you some scriptures while they do that. Ephesians 2:10, for Katie is his workmanship. She is created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that she could walk in them. Katie is part of a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. So God created Katie in his own image. In the image of God, he created her. Male and females are both created in him. Romans 8:37, knowing all things, Katie is more than a conqueror through him who loves her. Psalms 139:13-14, Katie was formed in her inward parts. God knitted her together in her mother's womb. I praise you because Katie is fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. For in Christ, Katie, as well as all of us, are sons of God through faith. 1 Corinthians 3:16, do you not know that Katie is God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells within her? 1 John 3:1-2, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, has given to Katie, that she should be called one of the children of God, and so are we. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, are we, because we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, that Katie will be like him, because we shall see him as he is. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Katie is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Romans 8:1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. 5:8, but God shows his love for us. God has shown his love for Katie, that while she was still in sin, Christ died for her, just like he has for us. Jesus says in Matthew 5:14, you are the light of the world. All of us. Katie, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. John 3:16, for God so loved Katie that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Jeremiah says that God knows the plans he has for Katie. He declares it. He plans for her welfare and not for evil, to give her hope and a future. 2 Peter 1:2-4, may grace and peace be multiplied to Katie in the knowledge of God and of our Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted her all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to Katie his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers in the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given Katie a spirit of fear, but a power of love and of self-control. John 15, God doesn't call any of us his servants, for the servant does not know what the master is doing. But he calls her a friend. He calls you friend. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Colossians 2:10, and you have been filled with him, who is the head of all rule and all authority. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake, God made him to made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, Katie, might become the righteousness of God. But our righteousness is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How easy it is to be able to look at the truth of the mirror and forget. We are not those people. We are beloved. We do not have to fight and scratch and cut to be able to get our way. But we can find our peace and knowledge of who we are through Jesus Christ. Verse 26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, the person's religion is worthless. Now I want to stop here for a second. If you've been around for a long time, you know that this is one of my pet peeves that I have learned to become not so old manish about and be so cranky about, is the definition of the word religion. In our time that we're living in right now, religion is not it might as well be a four-letter word. Nobody likes the word religion. Nobody likes the word religion. And even on a Christian's page, or even some of our pages, we'll share stuff out, you know, I'm not religious, I'm a follower of Jesus, and those type of things. And the reason that's done is because our culture has redefined what religion is and has made it something nasty, something that is full of structure and politics and hypocrisy and polity and all kinds of struggles with it. The reason I struggle with that is because I know God's definition of it, and we've not represented it always the best, and James is about to give us his definition of it. So the main thing that you need to know right now is we just read that little bit. To James's original listeners, those who are reading this letter for the first time, religion is not a four-letter word. It's a beautiful word. It means spiritual. It means for those who consider themselves following God, for those who consider themselves to be his chosen people, for those who consider themselves spiritual. If you are claiming that, then you need to listen to me. Okay, so they're not like falling back like, well, I don't consider myself religious. They're like, yeah, I'm religious. I'm spiritual. James is about to talk about me. If anyone thinks that they are spiritual, I'll use that word, does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's spirituality is worthless. That's how they would hear it. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God. Now, this is the definition we need to go with. This is God's definition is what he's saying. This is how God defines religion. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans, to visit widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Okay, so we've got that up on the screen if you're going to be a note taker and that type of thing. There's two parts to it. Basically, you're caring for people in affliction, and you're keeping yourself unstained from the world. This should affect everything in your life if you're following Jesus Christ. It should affect how you communicate about your politics. Talk about one of the biggest areas right now that gets people all set off and they're quick to speak and they're really slow to listen. Absolutely should affect how you handle your politics, about life, about where you spend your money, about where you spend your time. Everything about this, if you're going to follow Christ, it's about how you take care of others who are in need and keep yourself pure from the way that the world sees things. Do you see that he's even taking us out from the stone and the rocks of the worldly thinking, past the church lukewarm understanding, into it's not that hard. Just don't lean into the way of the world and care about each other, love each other. 100% truth, 100% love. You got to bring both to the table. But take care of one another. This is what it's all about. Why does it undercut us so bad? Verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The reason it's hard is because we're wicked and we're rampant and we need Jesus. And if you've not accepted Jesus as leader and forgiving your life, you haven't even taken the first step yet. Too many times it's presented as, say this little prayer and you get to go to heaven someday. It's give your life back to the one who created you. And watch how he changes the world when you follow his ways, his promises. You get into the word, you see how he sees you, and then you start seeing the world the same way. It's beautiful. It's awesome. Here's a few things that you can, tangibles. We always like to put some tangibles up. Some hows, if you would. Obviously, you cannot do the word if you're not in the word. You don't know the word. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there that consider themselves Christians who barely know what they're talking about. barely know what they're talking about. There's so much in this book. It is God revealed himself in the written word. It is his heart for sinners. It is his love for you. It is his way of living that keeps you from going in the ditch over and over and over again. Christian community is part of that. If you've been around for a while, you know that I see church a little bit different than maybe some other pastors do. It's not just about who can be in here on Sunday morning when there's a snowstorm outside. It's a community. It's friendships. It's brotherhood. It's sisterhood. Just like James is talking about here, it's our Father and having a Christian community in our lives. Someday, not to put her on the spot, so I won't name Sarah, but when she feels really courageous, she's going to tell you the difference between church and Christian community someday and the difference it makes. And I hope you've experienced that too. Solid studies, there's a lot of goofy stuff out there. I can attest to that. But solid studies and topical books that are Christian, that are good people, make sure you check out your authors. Not everybody says a Christian is solid. Right Now Media, if you don't have Right Now Media, even for our guests today, Right Now Media is an online video Bible study website. It's a lot like Netflix. It's got over 40,000 high-quality Bible studies by topic, by books of the Bible, whole nine yards. You can't buy it. You can't subscribe to it. You have to get through a church. We pay for it, and then we give it away to free to anybody who wants it. If you want it, touch base with me. Give me your name and your email, and I'll send you an invite. You don't put a credit card in. You don't ever have to walk back into this building again, but we got you loaded up. We got you loaded up. Great studies out of Christian counseling for some, especially in the area of anger. Anger is one of the big top five of what people struggle with. If we can help you with that, there's a lot of great resources there that might be beyond just giving it the old college try. Because if you get the old college try, I'm going to let you know you're going to fail, because he's already told us it's the word that makes the difference. Journaling and reviewing your journals, great thing to get into that I highly believe in, that I suck at doing. But if you can look back and see what God has done since what you wrote 6 months ago, all the better for it. Brent, you okay? You sure? No, you okay? Need a hug? Towel? Towel? We got towels. It's Baptism Sunday. Okay. Physical and mental activity, just getting outside and walking. Go take pictures of owls with Dan. Get you outside and working around or doing something mentally. Oh my gosh, it's contagious. Neil, did you get any on you?
I did.
Jenny did. That's because you were sharing the mirror. Can you tell we're a little off because of the snowstorm? We're not that far off. We're usually off. Bridle. Let's put the definition of bridle up. I read that part with bridle, but just to make sure that we're on the same page, I think we all assume, like when we think about bridling the tongue or controlling the tongue, we think the host thing, right? You put the bit in the host's mouth, and that's where the transitive verb is, to restrain, to check, to control, to lead the host, that we need to have control of our tongue. Our typing fingers or rugged boyfriend face, whatever it is, you got to have that. As we stand in check control. The other definition of bridle is the intransitive verb, which is to show hostility as to affront to one's pride or dignity, especially by drawing back the head and chin. I think you can guess which one James meant is the transitive verb, but bridling our tongue is huge and might need some counseling, some help to be able to get there. Okay, back to that list if you would, Lisa. Then the last one is just living that difference. Hearing the word, receiving the word, doing the word, being slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger, and that's what brings a great change. I told you, James is not easy, but James is really calling us out into something deeper. He really is, and it makes a big difference in your life. Or, go give it to old college try again. See how that works out for you again. Didn't work for me. I can pretty much guarantee it's not going to work for you. If you want to talk about those things more, let me know. I would love to do that. Looks like we're all not leaving here for the next 24 hours anyways. With the snow, I don't know how it is out there now. But if you've not accepted Jesus, lead and forgive in your life, please. It's a conscious choice decision that only you can make. It's not about if you've went to church as a kid. It's not about what church you go to and what church you don't go to. It's not about grandma took and read your Bible stories when you were a little kid. It's not about what box you take and check on some survey from the government on what your faith is. It's about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and it starts with you saying, Jesus, I'm in. Don't miss that part. Don't miss the start. And then everything else builds off of that. Will you pray with me? Worship team, I'm going to go ahead and bring you guys up. I lied. Make yourself comfortable again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, and I pray that if there's anybody here who has not accepted you as leader and forgiver in their life, that in this moment they ignore me and they talk to you. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Paul tells us, if we acknowledge with our mouth that you are the Son of God, you are God and we're not. And that fact itself changes everything. And if it doesn't, we don't understand. You are God and I am not. Paul tells us, if we believe in our hearts that Jesus died and rose again, meaning we do not deserve your grace or your forgiveness, but yet we accept it, your beautiful, beautiful mercy. And we start at this place, a new person, new identity, with a new commitment to lean into, to learn, and to do the word. And move out to a place that is much calmer instead of being bashed around by every wave of this world like we have in the past. I pray you make that decision today. Father, for all of us, whatever is on our mind, whether you're calling in out to us some issues where we are dealing with anger and frustration and trying to control things, and today James speaks to that, or whether we deal with some things in our own eternal, Father, that we do not remember who we are in Jesus Christ from the moment to the moment because of the waves of this world or the lies of Satan whispering into our ears, that we are reminded today who we truly are, and that we need to embrace that, not in cockiness, not because we're better than other people, but in confidence because you are better than the world. And move us forward in new ways, with new community, new tools, a new desire, and a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit upon us today. That's why we live in a day that is trying to tell us through the weather, through the nature, whatever the case would be, that things are overwhelming and scary. Maybe it's just you telling us to slow down, to rest, and to listen. And that this day is actually quite glorious in the hands of our Father. So no matter what's in our past, no matter what things we have done, no matter maybe even what we did this morning that we hope no one finds out about, that you know about, that we just bring those things to you right now in this moment. And you cleanse us. As we celebrate the baptisms of our families and friends with this beautiful, tangible, the symbolic act that you have given us, that ties to the spiritual truth, that it enlightens us and excites us and helps us to move forward in you in new ways. Spirit, let your will be done here. Help us not to get in your way. We just take a few moments and just talk to Jesus, just you and him. Hear our prayers, Father. Father, you're a good God, and I thank you for having us in your hands, for there's no else place to be. We are thankful for your foundation. There's no other place to stand. We thank you for your lordship, because we're struggling sometimes and we need you. Seal these things on our hearts. Open our mouths to have conversations about them afterwards. Get some people around us. Celebrate with us. As a faith thing walked in here with an ounce of guilt, may it now be freed with the mercy and the grace of Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500 or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.